Beloved, I desire with God's help to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, perhaps the first 12 verses. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I'd like to conclude with verse number 12. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all. Beloved, when we read about Jesus Christ, everything that he did will bring to us and to our minds and to our lives a calling. We see that Joseph and Mary were called to act as ones who would nurture this child as adoptive parents. We see the wise men that were called to seek after the Lord, to seek this child, to worship him. And we see the Jews, we see these chief priests and scribes and all of the people of the Jews. They had the Old Testament, and it foretold of the Lord that would come. In Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament, Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, prophesied of the Lord Jesus that was to come as one who was a prophet, who would come after Moses' type or example, and the people were to listen to him, and they were to obey him. This was the calling of the Jewish people. And we have an account of Jesus Christ and his life. And the thought and question that should be racing through our minds is, what about me? What has God called me to do with this Jesus? And then to have the question ring through our minds like the songwriter wrote the words, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot stay. One day, your heart may be asking, what will he do with me? Let's take from these examples of those whom the Lord called to find encouragement and direction for where the Lord may be calling you and me. Joseph and Mary, they were called to be these the earthly parents of Christ, to nurture him, to raise him up. We see that they brought him to the temple later in life to worship. And when Jesus returned home with them, he was subject unto them, and he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It was a place where he was nurtured for a time until it was time for him to continue with his Father's mission. And we are called also to nurture Christ, to nurture his example, to nurture his nature within our very hearts and our lives, within our homes, that they might be a place where his values and his character are magnified, where they're clearly seen, where they're cared for, and they're provided the nourishment and the fertile soil to grow in fruitful lives for our Lord. We are to nurture and to grow. And how best to do that but to look to the scripture where we find the instruction and the guidance and understanding, where we read in the letter from Peter about how we can grow. We can grow as babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We can grow and we can nurture the character of Jesus Christ as we read his word and spend time in the scriptures. To spend time having our minds affected and molded with time and with patience by the scriptures. To give ourselves wholly to them. To listen to what God is teaching us. And seeing the contrast sometimes between our life and the life of our Savior, so that we would learn how to grow. And we can do that by spending time in the Word. We can do that by desiring, even as a babe desires the milk to grow. We need to have that desire for the Word of God in our daily lives. Apostle Paul speaks to the Ephesians about our growth and nurturing Christ within us and among us. And God has provided unto us many gifts that can be used, that he explains in Ephesians chapter 4. And he describes the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers that are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. But then he goes on to something that one and all can be a part of, regardless of position or title. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We long to nurture and to grow in Jesus Christ. And the Word teaches us one way to do that is by speaking the truth and speaking it in love, by sticking with the Word of God and doing so in a way that would draw and persuade men and women to, of their own free will, surrender and submit to the truth that makes us free. Speaking the truth in love, beloved, is a way of nurturing the character and nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our midst, so that we can grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The wise men that had come, they had seen the star in the east. And they came from the east, but they saw the star in the east. Isn't the star supposed to be coming and seen in the west if they're coming from the east? But the things that are good, like the rising of the sun, they were often thought to be coming from the east. And even Jesus himself said, when he comes again, it will be like the lightning that comes from the east to the west. And so the good things that are coming to this world are seen and known and are sought after. And we are called, and even our friends are called, to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy. And he will pardon. This is the calling, my friend, for you. This is the first priority for you, to seek the Lord. Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount about seeking. He says, first, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. The wise men took the time to travel and to move from the place that they were sitting, because seeking takes more effort than simply asking. And when the star had disappeared that was guiding them, they came to Jerusalem, and they began to knock at the door of the king. They began even farther than seeking, they began to knock and to be persistent in their questioning. And Jesus says, the man that asks and seeks and knocks after him, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. We can seek for the Lord in many ways. We can seek the Lord when we wake up in the morning to gain the perspective upon the day, to gain a willingness to surrender our every decision, and to acknowledge him, that he's given us life, he's allowed us to open our eyes and that we can see, that we can remember his blessings. And when we acknowledge him, the Word teaches us that the Lord will direct our paths. That's in Proverbs chapter 3, where we're instructed not to follow and lean on our own wisdom. But seek the Lord. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And how thankful We have a God who does not just leave us with a book to read and interpret, but one who desires to lead and guide us. And it brought the wise men great joy when that leading of the light of the star came out in clearness once again, so that they can find what they're looking for, what they're seeking, and that they can offer the worship that they had come to give. You and I are all here for a purpose and a reason, and the scripture states it clearly, that our whole duty is to fear God and to keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And by God's leading and our willing surrender unto his word and his direction, we can fulfill that purpose that God has for our life. And you can go to bed knowing that you can sing with the hymn writer with honest heart, "I have surrendered all to Jesus. I have given him my all. I sought for him in the morning, lived for him in the day, and gave him the worship. And yes, there is much more progress to be made. But we're seeking his guidance. We're truly led by him. And we can say, thank the Lord for all his mercy. When we seek him, remember our calling to worship him. Now, what about us? What is your calling? What will you do with Jesus? Actually, each of us have this question before us, not just at this time of year, but each and every day. How will we be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? In the manner of speech, in our selection of our daily tasks, if we're given the opportunity to have that choice. In the various day-to-day decisions. And really, it is a quite simple one. There are two options. There is a narrow road, which is straight and narrow and leads unto life. And this is the one that follows Jesus Christ. And there is a wide road, wide and broad and smooth, but it leads to destruction. And this is the world. And we should have a desire, and it is my desire with God's help, to illustrate these two options for you from this scripture. We'll take as our example of the world the chief priests and the scribes and Herod. And we'll take as our example of the straight and narrow way Jesus Christ himself. These are the two options that are before you. And may we take a look at what this, what the world may have to offer us and may do with us. Herod was a king. And he was known as one who was very competitive. And he did away with the competition. He killed family members, and he executed others who were in his way, on his way to the top. And this is our picture of the world. Before he became king, history tells us that these group of chief priests, the Sanhedrin, they put Herod on trial because he had tried to have a robber executed. And the Sanhedrin didn't like having people do things of their own accord. They wanted to be asked permission. And they took the side of the robber. And they were angry with Herod. This wouldn't be the last time that they would take the place of take the side of a robber in a trial. Didn't they take Barabbas when they brought Jesus before Pilate? Well, Herod was able to escape the Sanhedrin and wasn't punished. And when he became king, he had all of those chief priests and the Sanhedrin executed. It's very risky to go against this king. Now, fast forward, after Herod's been king for a while, and he had installed a new high priest, and he had installed new chief priests and Sanhedrin that would do his bidding, he comes to them and asks them, says, "I hear that there's been a king that's been born, a king of the Jews." Now, Herod wasn't a Jew. He was from Edom. But he's asking these Jewish priests, "What is this I hear? Is there someone who has a claim to the rightful claim to the throne?" And the scribes, they knew the answer. I wonder what was going through their head when they're thinking, "Is this the fulfillment? Are God's promises truly coming to pass now?" But we have a decision to make. What do we do? Do we offend this king and risk our own heads? Or do we tell the king? This king that will not do with any competition and put our Messiah at risk. Well, they made their decision. They honestly and openly told the king where to find him, gave him a path exactly where to go. And this is the darkness. This is the stark darkness. The darkness of the world that will use and abuse you for its fun, and when it's done with you, will throw you away. That is one side of the choice that you have. To align yourself with a world that would do this. With the promises of God, with a promised child, with a helpless baby. And will all too quickly do with you and me if we love the world and turn our back on God. There is something about the darkness that stands as a contrast to the light and makes the light shine so much brighter. Just as that star, perhaps shone in the dark night sky to lead the way, we have our Lord and Savior, the perfect example for us, that shows us the way. We see him later in his life, even at the end, in the Gospel of John, telling his disciples that all of the things that were to happen to him in his crucifixion, they were happening to fulfill the prophecy that they hated me without a cause. Don't we know that that's true? Jesus did nothing worthy of death. Even though he had healed on the Sabbath, and he had preached and taught against those scribes and Pharisees, he did nothing worthy of death, and he did not deserve what they were going to do and what they had intended. The reason for their anger and for their vengeance was not in Jesus. The reason for their anger and their vengeance was in themselves. It was in the world because they were jealous. And they hated Christ. But we read in Romans about our Lord and his plan as Jesus would become our Savior. In Romans chapter 3, the Word teaches us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is something beautiful about the language that is being used in this verse. This word that is used for freely is the same as the one that's used about Jesus when he says, they hated me without a cause. The world hated Jesus without a cause, and the Lord loves you and I without a cause in us. The cause for his love and his mercy that he's extending is not in us, but it's in him. Just the exact opposite of how the world is. There was no cause for the world's hatred and anger and vengeance in Jesus. It was all in mankind. And so we see the great distinction and great difference between this world that hates Jesus without a cause and even was willing to sacrifice him and turn on him when he was a babe, before he did the healing and the miracles, to save themselves. But Jesus teaches us the one who will save his life will lose it. But the one who loses his life for my sake, the same will find it. As we are seeking through our days for life, there is one way to find. My hope and prayer that we would realize those words of the hymn writer. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart may be asking, what will he do with me?
You know, the book of Matthew's the only one that talks about that these were written in the prophecies. And we read in the verse 5, it says, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, thus it is written by the prophets. And then we read in verse 17 and 18, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. And then we read in the 23rd verse, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called Nazarene. So as Matthew points out that this was the prophetic prophecies of old. And so it gives us comfort to know this because it connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. The Old Testament has much prophecy in it. And of course, the prophecy of him coming, him being our Savior, comforts us when we read it in the New Testament. So all of God's Word together, when it's all combined, it gives us encouragement, it strengthens our faith, and we read it and we believe it. And so the messages that we have heard today, may they ring in our hearts in the coming days and the weeks to be reminded and to think on our Lord and Savior, how he was born and why he came, and that is to save us from our sin. Amen.